Hey, welcome to Silent Sales Machine Radio, Business Building Warrior. So glad you're going to join us today for a conversation with two of the great coaching leaders on our team. I'm talking about, of course, Brian and Robin Joy Olson. They're going to be taking over the show here in just a moment. A couple announcements first, and then a short overview of what you're about to hear, and we'll jump into the great content that they have for us. First, our Proven Conference is coming at us very fast, May 23rd through 25th in Orlando, Florida. You can join hundreds. We're coming up on 600 registered as I'm recording this, several weeks out from the event, but it's getting very close at this point. Theprovenconference.com has details, over 40 breakout sessions for every level of experience, from brand new clueless newbies who are wanting to get into e-commerce to some of the most advanced Amazon and Walmart and eBay and all kinds of other strategies that we talk about around here. There's going to be great sessions. It's a great chance to get really connected with this community. Be looking for live stream options if you can't join us in Orlando as well. The website, again, that has all the details is three words, theprovenconference.com. Plan to join us there. Also, next announcement, if you haven't jumped on our calendar yet and booked a slot to have a conversation with our team about your e-commerce hopes and dreams and plans to see how we might come alongside and help you make those a reality, get on our schedule. It doesn't cost you anything. We normally charge hundreds of dollars for a consultation, but for the past several months, we've been doing this absolutely free as a service to the listeners of this show. That's you and the members of our free Facebook group. We want to serve you with excellence and show you what's out there. One of the biggest favors I think we can do you for you is to keep you out of a ditch that you may not even know is there. You may be heading straight towards a cliff and you don't even realize it with the plans that you've made for your business. We've been coaching for over 20 years in e-commerce. We've seen many, many ways things can go terribly wrong, and we've seen many ways that things can work out beautifully. We want to help steer you in a good direction. That may mean just a simple referral to some free resources, or it could mean that you want to jump into one of our very inexpensive courses, or perhaps you want some coaching, but regardless, we'd love to have a conversation with you. Go to silentgym.com/book-a-call, all one word, book a call, to schedule a call that's convenient, timed for you, and we'll have a conversation with someone on our team. We'd love to hear from you. Well, let's get into today's program. Of course, like I mentioned, Brian and Robin Joy, two great coaching leaders on our team. We have about 60 coaches. They're divided into three teams, and each of them have a coaching team leader. Brian and Robin Joy are two of the great coaching team leaders in our community. They're going to be doing a lot of the content for us as well at the Proven Conference, which I mentioned just a moment ago. But on today's episode, they're talking about some of the realities of some of the perhaps more mundane tasks that go into ramping up an Amazon business. You hear us talk about the Amazon replens business all the time around here, because that is the lowest risk, lowest learning curve, highest odds of success business model that we've identified in our entire catalog of business opportunities that we teach and offer around here. So we tend to start most new sellers there. But as with anything in life that's worth having, it requires time, effort, energy. There's a learning curve there. There's blood, sweat, tears, risk, sacrifice, right? Anything worth having. And any business model will always have those components. So how do you get through those first initial stages? That's what I really love about Brian and Robin Joy's perspective, is because they've coached hundreds of students at this point. They've overseen the coaching of many, many more, and they've noticed those trends, the things that people are running into, the snags they're hitting, challenges they're facing, the questions they ask. And that's what we put into these Coaches Corner episodes. So hopefully you're benefiting from these and enjoying them in many ways. And with no other announcements needed at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Brian and Robin Joy. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to Silent Sales Machine Radio. We are your co-hosts. I'm Brian.
And I'm Robin Joy.
And this is Coach's Corner. So this week,
yes,
we're going to kick off the topic, the session here today, around the questions, maybe complaints, more sometimes that we get from new clients that we're working with who are like, look, I'm putting in the time, but I'm not getting the result. What is going on, right? Mm-hmm. How do I change this up?
Yeah. We do get that comment a lot, and it's normal. It's understandable. It's frustrating. You put in, you know, a couple hours and you don't have anything that you can test yet. So what do we do about that, Brian? What's our answer to that?
Well, I think we need to change the focus. So change the focus from, you know, how many goals did we score? How many touchdowns? How many home runs? Whatever it was, you know, change from that to focusing on the time that we're putting in. Because if we don't put in the time, we're never going to get the result. So initially, the wins need to be the time and the efforts that we go through.
Right. So could I say, if we run the drills, we're going to be prepared to make that touchdown when the defense opens up to us and we can do that. But if we don't put in the drills, then we're not necessarily going to be ready for that when it comes to us. But that's what we can control, the time we put in and how many ASINs we look at. It gives us a lot of other benefits as well. Like if I look at enough ASINs, I'm going to get good at looking at ASINs, right?
Well, I think there's also a progression that happens with looking at ASINs. If you, because the same reason we wouldn't send in 20 tests in our first shipment in case there was a systemic problem, we need to make incremental improvements along the way. So this is part of putting in the time, because you're not going to know everything that you need to know the very first hour that you go sourcing or the very first week that you go sourcing, right? You have to build on your skills. And so in order to build on the skills, hey, that's got a catchy thing to it, right?
Oh,
build
dear, on the skills. making up new words again.
In order to build on the skills, you have to put in the time. And the time is, and go through the reps, right? As they say.
Right.
So you go through the cycles, you go through the reps, and then you learn something every time that you go through them. And if you don't learn, if you don't feel like you're learning or progressing in there, then that's when you reach out for help. And if you're a coaching client, super easy, because then we get together and we say, tweak this a little bit, tweak that a little bit. Oh no, that's spot on, you know, whatever it is. And we're able to make progress in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Alternatively, you can go to the Facebook group. If you're not a coaching client, post your question out there and you can get some awesome responses that can help you.
Right. Exactly. Well, I'd like to say that just because it doesn't feel like you're making progress doesn't necessarily mean you're not making progress.
Yes.
How many times do we gradually make progress and we look back and say, oh, I guess I did make some progress. Sometimes we don't recognize it in the time. Mm-hmm. So don't be discouraged just because it's not coming obvious to you that you're making progress. But I think it is important to embrace the process itself. If that's what we can control is looking at ASINs, then let's look at ASINs. We can't control whether we are looking at the ASIN that's going to be test-worthy or not. We can't control whether we're going to find that one next or 10 down the road or 100 down the road. But what we can control is how many ASINs we look at. And that's going to, if we look at enough ASINs, we're going to find some that are test-worthy. Some people, they find a few right away. Some people don't find any for a little while. It's kind of like, you know, walking through a forest, right? So if I decide I'm going to get through to the other side of the forest, I need to pick a path and start going down it. So if I change my mind in the, you know, when I'm just taking a few steps in because I haven't found anything yet, let's say, you know, the trees are ASINs and they are possibly test-worthy ASINs and I haven't found any test-worthy yet. So I go back out the forest and go in another path. Yeah. And then I still don't find any. So I go back out the forest and go into another path, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to the other side and I'm trying to find all the trees that I can that will be test worthy for me. But I'm only finding one or two because I keep, you know, going in and going out and pot shotting these paths and I never go deeper into the forest. You have to go deeper into the forest. There are other kinds of trees in that forest, other things that may work for you that you hadn't thought of before. And you will not get to the other side of the forest or break this barrier that's in front of you if you keep starting over all the time, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Another thing I was thinking about is if you are learning a new language, right? The first multiple weeks of going to take, if you're taking lessons, personal lessons even, right? You don't come home after the first week and become fluent in Spanish or Italian or French.
Right.
No, this takes a long time to build up the skills. Now, fortunately, we're in a business where it doesn't take that long. It feels like a long time. Because it's all new to us, right? It's like the first time that you drive somewhere that that you've never gone before. It seems like it takes forever.
It does. Always seems like it takes longer the first time.
Yeah. The next time it takes shorter and shorter. And pretty soon the horse is in control, your subconscious, and you're not even paying attention anymore.
Right. That's true. But it doesn't actually take any longer to get there.
Right.
It just feels like
it takes longer. Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Put that into your assessment of how it's going. But yeah, I think that if we focus too hard on what we want to get out of this, then we're going to start feeling like we're not winning. And we don't want that, because this process itself should be winning to you. Getting the process.
Yeah.
The task done.
Changing the focus from the what did I get out of this to just doing it in the beginning is what is necessary, right?
Yeah. And it is difficult for all of us to, you know, we're adults. We're out of school. We're, you know.
We're used to like winning fast, right?
We've already put in our 30 years to figure out how to do this. Uh-huh. So why the heck on almost everything else we do? So why the heck is this giving us such a problem? Well, we haven't put in years and years of practice on this yet.
Well, I think there's also this like level of comfort. We've come to live with, we've established our realm.
Yes.
That is this comfort zone. And we're really good at those things that are in our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And we don't tend to take on a whole heck of a lot of new things because it's uncomfortable.
Right.
So this is going to be uncomfortable if you're just getting started. If you haven't really ironed out your process yet for how you are sourcing, then it's going to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And there may be days still, even when you have ironed it out, you're going to have stretches of where it still is going to be uncomfortable. I like to tell the story all the time that when I'm getting my butt kicked at work or when I'm getting my butt kicked by Amazon, what I like to do is just go sourcing for a couple of hours because I know I'm going to get some wins. Mm-hmm. That does happen the majority of the time for me at this point, but this is because I've looked at tens of thousands of ASINs.
Oh, yeah.
But there are still stretches where that doesn't happen, where I can go an hour and a half. I'm like, oh, gosh, that was a wild goose chase. I didn't find anything.
Maybe, absolutely.
Maybe I was trying a new slightly tweaked strategy or something like that. But even if it's something that I've had dialed in, there are times when I didn't get out of that exactly what I was looking for, but I still had to put in the time.
That's a good point, Brian. This does still happen to us. We've just gotten more comfortable with that happening to us because we know if we do it enough. Well, but getting all the way through a process to fully test it is important. I'm a kind of a methodical kind of thinker, right? If I'm going to go source, you know, Dollar General, and I'm going to exhaust that source and see everything in there, I'm going to look at every item in there before I quit. Now, I'm not going to do it all in one sitting. No, absolutely not. But I'm going to go all the way through that process, all the way to the other side of that forest before I decide whether there are some trees in that forest that are going to work for me or not. And I might have to go through it two or three times in different paths in order to get that accomplished. And that takes hours and hours and hours.
Oh, this reminds me of when I was first trying to diversify in our book of business. So I had gotten pretty good at like my honeypots, as I called them, the grocery space. And then I'm trying to expand and go find some different parts of the stores for me to find products in. And I was like, okay, let me go check camping stuff. Mm-hmm. And I looked at three or four tents and I didn't find anything. And I was like, camping doesn't work. Okay, let me go try gardening. And I'd look at three or four rakes, none of them would work or whatever it was. Oh yeah, well, there's nothing in gardening. So let me go over to automotive, right? And you know, if I'm only looking at two or three things.
Walking in a few steps.
Exactly.
Seeing a few trees, changing your mind and going out and going the other. So you're just bouncing around the outside of this forest all the time.
Exactly. So if you really want to get, in order for me to get good at that, well, what I had to do is be committed to go through, like you said, every single stinking product, try to find a matching ASIN. And then when I did, then I learned from that. And I was like, okay, what is it about this that made this successful? Right. And then
I find some more like that.
Right. And I start taking that with me to the next one. Hey, does this one have that?
Yes.
Or can I look for more things like I found in the other one? And then pretty soon it's this land and expand strategy. Okay, I found one in this particular category. I'm going to expand in there based on what I've learned for the ones that were the one that I found that was successful.
I like it. This is a very good example of why sometimes it feels like we've done a lot of work, but we haven't gotten a lot of results.
Yep.
Again, if we can control the work we do, control the time we put in, control the number of ASINs we look at, and call that a win, because as a large group of ASINs, it's going to find wins for you sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in this set that you're looking at in this couple of hours, but you've gotten some down. You've looked through a few, you're going and looking at some more, and you're going deeper into the forest instead of just quitting because those first few that you looked at And I know it feels like more than a few. It sounds like I'm really...
Yeah.
Okay. You look at 500 ASINs. You're still not finding anything. That's okay. That may be the first 500 that you look at. And then you're going to get a much higher percent in the next 500 that you look at. But you have to look at those, whether they have wins in those or not. So let's call that a win. We got that down.
So that does bring up an interesting question, and this is totally off script.
Oh, but dear.
When someone in the coaching scenario comes to you and says, hey, I looked at 200 ASINs and I found one item, or I found two items that seem test worthy. Would you say that's like the norm when you're first getting started?
I absolutely would. Mm-hmm. I would say that is not unusual. And that's what I would, the first thing I would say to the client. The one thing that we don't know when we're new to doing this is what it's like for everybody else. What we've seen is, oh yes, I do this all the time now. It's not a problem for me anymore. We hear these stories after people have found success, but we really don't talk about what it's like in the beginning. And trust me, my first 200 ASINs, I'm not sure I found anything that we could test in those first 200 or 300 ASINs for sure. And then it was very sparse for a while. It really, really was. And remember, I was doing this all day long. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that we're working with are doing it in the hours, you know, after work or in between family responsibility. Mm-hmm. So remember, it feels like a lot of time because time has gone by, but the hours that you put in are not equaling necessarily some of the other ones that have found more ease in that and gotten experience faster.
That's a great point. Don't confuse the time invested with the time elapsed.
You're the one who went off script. All right, let's go into that. I like it. Don't confuse the time invested with the time elapsed. Mm-hmm. That works in a couple of ways for me. One is, if I need to put in 10 hours and I only have 2 hours a week, it's going to take me 5 weeks to do that. In your 5 weeks, someone else can put in, you know, 80 hours, and they have a whole lot more experience than you have. Doesn't make a difference. We're not comparing with what time I have with you have. What we're doing is trying to find how can I make the best out of the time that I have to put in it. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that. It also tells me if I am putting in the time, it needs to be putting in the time achieving my goal. My goal is how many ASINs I need to look at. My goal is not, you know, checking, you know, how do you do KDP like you did?
Yeah.
I'll use you as the bad child here. Uh-huh. How do I do KDP? Oh, wait, can I make a bundle? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, and you never get your sourcing done. So it feels like you're putting on all this time, but you really didn't put that much time into sourcing, right?
Yep.
So those two things, what you said, tell me those two things. And I think that the time elapsed don't confuse.
The time invested doesn't equal time elapsed, right?
Right.
I think I said invested.
Don't confuse. Invested with time elapsed.
Yeah.
Time elapsed with time invested. All right. I think you guys get the point, right? I hope so. We do sidetrack ourselves all the time, but so I thought that was a great point.
I thank you very much. I'll take the compliment. Well, one of the things that makes the time invested, right? Uh-huh. Easier to accomplish is the consistency with which you are spending the time to complete that task, right? Or invest, not to complete, but time invested in the task.
Yes.
It's much easier to build up your list of ASINs that you've gone through if you've got the schedule that you're doing, you know, I got 2 hours on Monday, I got, you know, 3 hours on Wednesday, and I got 6 hours on Saturday or whatever it is, to just start rolling that time. All of a sudden, you're going to get to time invested pretty quickly.
Yeah. As long as you give a job to each of those hours and make sure you're doing what you need to do during those hours, make sure you're putting in those hours and it just didn't get on your schedule. And then you say, well, I can't do it tonight. Make them up if you can't do that. But I think you're exactly right. How much time you put in, if you do it consistently, will grow quickly.
Yeah. And this brings me to something I wanted to circle back to. From a while back, we had talked about the frequency of your consistency is important.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, maybe we can make up a word there because we were talking about—
you like making up words, don't you?
Consistency key, like
yes.
Consistency is the key to success, right? And it applies in a lot of different places.
Right.
But if the consistency of your frequency is key, then maybe the word is confrequence key.
Oh my goodness. All right, everybody. Yeah. Confrequency. Okay.
Yes, I know. All right. Really are just in this to entertain ourselves, aren't we? Yeah.
I'll give an extra 5 minutes of conversation to anybody who walks up to me at the Proven Conference and can say confrequency 5 times.
No.
Confrequency. Okay. I can't even say it. All right. Confrequency. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're never going to forget that term.
Okay. So anyway, it is basically this. We need to put in the time. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we do want to check in on occasion, like I would be cautious about telling anyone to go look at 1,000 ASINs before coming back for some check-in.
Right.
Right.
Agreed.
Because I think that's a lot to go through. If you've got a systemic problem, there could be some wasted time and effort in there. The bottom line is you're never going to be as efficient in the beginning as you will be eventually. So there's always going to be some inefficiencies in there. But, you know, how many would you say that you should look through before and find absolutely, you know, get goose egged on it before you say, look for a check-in?
Well, I mean, obviously you have a number in mind, but I would say that.
I don't.
No. Okay. I thought you were going to catch me with that one.
No.
I would say there are a lot of other things involved, meaning how much are you doing at a time? What are you using for sources? Where are you getting the ASINs that you're looking through? I mean, there's a whole lot to that. However, generally speaking, I would say most of the people I work with, now, remember, I'm giving them a way to find the ASINs that mm-hmm. they're looking through, but usually with about 500 ASINs, 400 to 600, I'd say they usually come back with 2 or 3 that have sources and have passed the test worthy assessment.
So I was going to say, and maybe I did have a number, but it only came to mind as you were talking.
Okay.
Instead of looking at a few, I've looked at a few and I came up with nothing, like the example I was giving about, you know, camping supplies or gardening or whatever.
Right.
A few hundred might be a better gauge
just
of
that. Set expectations. Now, remember, there are 1 billion ASINs just in the U.S. platform.
Yeah.
So it's not like there aren't a lot to get through over the next, you know, however long you're looking at ASINs.
Impossible.
Impossible.
It is absolutely
and they're
impossible.
Always changing, moving in and out.
Yeah.
Things are happening to them. They're going up and down. Mm-hmm. So they may be testworthy today, but not tomorrow and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So yeah, setting the expectation of a few hundred instead of a few might make a difference. I also want to just address quickly setting the expectation of how many hours that's going to take. If you say I've looked for 8 hours and I haven't found anything, I still want to know how many ASINs were you able to look at during that 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that makes a difference. And then if you say I've looked at 800 ASINs and I haven't found anything, then I want to know, you know, then we want to dig in a little bit deeper. Are you looking at them all in one sitting? What kind of sources are available to you? What kind of ASINs are you looking at? How have you decided what you're going to? So there are many things that go into that, but adjusting the expectation of what normal is sometimes helps a lot.
I mean, this is the benefit of working with a personal guide. Yes. If you're in the coaching program, is we can make those corrections a lot faster.
Sure.
Right. And you could use the group as well. Use the Facebook group for your questions that could help you make adjustments a lot faster. Not after 3 or 5 or 20 even, mm-hmm. right? I still think if you haven't looked at a few hundred ASINs in a particular category or from a particular source, then you're probably not going deep enough.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. If you're going in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, because trash bags didn't work. And then, so then I'm going to try tools. And then mm-hmm. I would expect that you look at a lot of ASINs that did not work.
Right.
That would be normal.
Okay.
All right.
So if we're shifting the focus from, you know, how many test-worthy ASINs that I get for the time that I invested to mm-hmm. the time invested and the number of ASINs that I looked at,
yes.
knowing that that's eventually going to produce results, mm-hmm. then we need to kind of redefine how we're celebrating those wins.
And what we're celebrating.
What we're celebrating. Yeah, maybe not how we're celebrating, but what we're celebrating.
Yes.
So we go from, hey, I found my batch of 5 tests this week to, hey, I looked through 200 ASINs in sporting goods that is a whole new category for me. And uh-huh. I didn't know anything about sporting goods, but I'm starting to get better about how to source sporting goods.
Yes. That's a win. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate. So in the mornings, instead of saying, how many did I find when we get together in the mornings and go over what happened yesterday, instead of saying, how many did I find? Let's say, how many did I look through? Did I do a good job of that? And what can I do to make that number better?
I like it.
Something I'm going to say,
this goes back to what my coach had asked me to do when I was all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. We started talking about what I was tracking, and I was giving her these, my daily journal entries, basically, mm-hmm. not every single day, but for the days that I had dedicated to the business mm-hmm. or the times that I did, I was following up. And what was so cool about that, looking back, you know what my superpower is?
What's your superpower?
Hindsight.
That was not
No, but so in hindsight, I'm able to look back and go, okay, that was very valuable for me because not only was I taking the notes, mm-hmm. But then I was sending those to my coach and getting them evaluated not only by her, but then I would, of course, reevaluate while I was sending them out and when I got them back from her. And I was learning from those sessions, like in depth, not just, you know, I looked at 200 ASINs and these brands and here's what I found, but more so like, okay, I looked in this category, I looked at these brands and I came up with something or I came up with nothing. Taking those lessons that I learned and applying them in future sessions is really where the magic happened.
I like it. I like it. Well, and you know, there's just value in getting comfortable looking at ASINs mm-hmm. and it takes some time. It makes me think of when I was a kid and I was on a softball team, right? Mm. And my coach told me, take this softball and carry it around everywhere. And every time I see you, I want you to have this softball in your hand. I had to convince my mom that my coach really did say this and I could bring it to the dinner table. And she made me keep it under the table, but she let me do it. But the more I carried around that softball, the more comfortable I was with the softball. So then when, you know, I played in the outfield, of course, and when a ball came, I was comfortable with what it felt like to get that ball, to throw that ball, to touch that ball. And this is what we need to get comfortable with. ASINs. Be in the middle of the ASINs all the time. I know Brandon and I, we said it before, everything's an ASIN to us because we do so much with ASINs. We're very comfortable in the space of what an ASIN is, how I relate to an ASIN, what an ASIN can do for me, which ones can, which ones can't, what's the difference between them, because we've been swimming in ASINs for years. You will get there, but just because you do it the first time, like learning Italian, you're not going to be fluent for a while. You got to keep going through the motions and feeling that feeling of what ASINs are.
And just, I want to, like, I don't know Italian. We did during COVID times, we were doing some Italian studying, and that obviously didn't last because I know that I could even say a sentence anymore. The point of this is that, you know, learning Amazon is not maybe as challenging as learning Italian or any new language for that matter. Although there are definitely some new words and new lingo and all that techno babble that exists here in this space. Mm-hmm. There is a new language that we are learning, but to be proficient, to become proficient with Amazon, I don't think is as quite as lofty of a task as is learning a new language.
Mm-hmm.
But
so what we're getting to here is put the time in, control the things you can control,
mm-hmm.
call those wins when you do what you said you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a win.
Yeah.
That's a win. How many times have we PC'd and done ourselves, not done what we said we were going to do? That's not a win. It doesn't even resemble a win, but it does resemble a win. It is a win when you say, I'm going to do this. You're true to yourself and you do it, even if it doesn't give you what you wanted, it is bringing you closer to what you want. And if you keep doing it, you will get what you want.
Oh, it's like someone who's training, you know, for a race, a marathon or something like that. They're not out to break the world record every time they practice.
Right.
Or even set a new PR, personal record.
They're doing the drills.
They're doing the drills. They're doing the practice. They're doing these things that don't, you know, it didn't win them a medal. Mm-hmm. Or they're not getting anything for it, but it's all in preparation for when race day comes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and I think that's a big shift that we can make to mm-hmm. make it feel more like it's, you know, we're winning. We mm-hmm. want to win.
Yes.
We want to be winning, and we can be winning from the beginning.
In the early days, The win is the work. The work is the win.
The work is the win.
Yeah.
Right.
What did you call them? The drills. The drills are the win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So do you have a quote for us today, Brian?
I do have a quote for us. Then I don't know how this comes about. Like, we talk about loosely the sort of topics that we're going to cover when we sit down and hit the record button. And sometimes I have a quote in advance and sometimes I don't. Today was one of those days where I didn't. But the very first place I go to look for a quote turned up exactly. It was like
exactly
so,
what you were looking for.
Just so apropos for this. Okay. This quote comes to us from Davy Greenberg, and it goes like this. If I do a job in 30 minutes, it's because I spent 10 years learning how to do that in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you owe me for the years and not for the minutes.
Yeah. Usually people consider this when they're paying their doctor bill, right?
Or their lawyer bill or their accountant. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But in this case, we're applying it to I look at enough ASINs for enough years, and then I can do it in 30 minutes, just like you do when the clients come to you and you source in front of them and you go, look, there's one. And they're like, how do you do that? Well, you've put in hours and hours looking at thousands and thousands of ASINs.
We've talked about how many hours does it take to become an expert? Mm-hmm. 10,000 hours is the going rate, right? Yeah. And I think we've certainly put in 10,000, way more than 10,000 hours each into this so far. Well, maybe not.
I know we've looked at least 10,000 ASINs.
Way more than 10,000
ASINs. Sure of
that. Yes. So, yeah.
So that's
anyway,
how it gets
remember,
easier.
One of these days you are just going to be able to spot them mm-hmm. and or very quickly discern what's a test-worthy ASIN and what's not a test-worthy ASIN.
Or at least be comfortable with what you're getting.
Mm-hmm. And it's not you're not going to be paid for the amount of time that you spent just finding that one ASIN. I mean, you're paying for all of the experience and all the, 10 years of learning about that in order for you to make that come to fruition in a very short amount of time.
That's right.
All right.
So the most important part of what we've been talking about today is what?
Finding ASINs.
So when you're finding yourself discouraged, you need a win, put in the time, look at more ASINs, and you will find more ASINs to test.
Let's go find
some more ASINs. Thanks,
right, everybody. Thanks,
we'll
everyone.
See you soon.
Hey, thanks for joining us for today's show. Before I let you go, I've brought my friend Jeff Schick on the program once again. He always brings us great Amazon legal and policy tips and pointers. He always has some information that you're not going to hear anywhere else. It's worth hanging out. Typically on Wednesday episodes, we love to drop this on you. And I've got Jeff here again today. Yeah. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here. So, yeah, today we're going to talk about everyone's least favorite topic once again, which is generic and misbranded ASIN suspensions. So I know I've mentioned this a couple times on the podcast. Back in October is when we first started seeing this enforced. So that's the first time we saw people suspended for listing on generic and misbranded ASINs. And since then, it's been a growing trend. So back in October, we had 5 sellers suspended. 4 of the 5 were reinstated. One of them was not. We'll talk about why that happened in a little bit. But so then we saw that Amazon went dark and we didn't see any more of these suspensions until June. And so around June 1st is we saw another 5 or so sellers get suspended for it. And then on July 1st, about another 5 to 7 suspended as well. So they are actively enforcing it, and it's something that they do really tend to care about, because unlike other suspensions where it's a fix-it suspension, misbranded ASIN suspensions fall under the fraud category. So they hit you with the book right out the bat and they say your account's been deactivated under Section 3. Whereas a normal suspension that's like what I'd call a fix-it suspension is, hey, your account may be deactivated if you don't fix this issue and you've got 72 hours to write a plan of action. So these are actual account deactivations. They're deactivating people right out the gate. There's no 72-hour warning. And they're saying, we believe your account's been used to engage in fraudulent or deceptive conduct, and it's because you're selling on ASINs on the wrong brand. So what does that look like from a seller perspective? Well, so far what we're seeing is we're selling on ASINs branded as generic, and these are branded products. So again, I'll give an example. I've got this box here of something I wanted to sell on Amazon. And of course, my little blurring thing, it's a wall plug
charger thing.
Yeah. It's an outlet. It's a smart Wi-Fi plug. You plug a lamp into it and that way you can use the Wi-Fi to turn it on and off. Well, the brand on it is actually TP-Link. Now, anyone that's familiar with TP-Link knows that they actually do sue sellers. So you have to be careful with selling their products. But if I was going to sell it on Amazon, that, you know, the brand would be TP-Link. It would not be generic. Even if I'm not authorized to sell TP-Link, I don't go create an ASIN that says generic. I don't find somebody else who's created an ASIN that says generic. Similarly, the brand is TP-Link. I wouldn't do TP-Link all as one word. I wouldn't do T-P-Link. I wouldn't do T.P.Link or anything of that nature. It has to be correct, or else Amazon considers that a misbranded ASIN.
Even if you're not the one setting up the ASIN, and this is what we want to emphasize, correct, because especially for our new sellers in our community, we're teaching them the replens model, go sell against existing listings. They're already set up and have good momentum. Well, some of them, even though they look great on RevSeller and they look great on Keepa and you're excited, you're going to make some money, check the brand and make sure that the brand matches. And 98% of the time it does, but there are some hot sellers out there that have been misbranded, and it's a ticking time bomb to where Amazon comes in, finds everyone who's selling against it. It could be 50 or 70 sellers, and you're thinking, oh, this is great. Look, we're all doing it. What could be wrong? Well, the brand complains and says they've got our brand wrong, and Amazon comes in swinging the hammer pretty heavy, it sounds like.
They do. And there's no rhyme or reason. You know, like one of the sellers brought it to my attention that he's suspended now. He's been suspended for a month for selling on the wrong brand ASIN. You know, for his, it was a paint product and the brand was listed as paint instead of the brand of the actual paint itself. And he's like, why is this happening? There's 80 sellers on the listing right now. And I said, I can't tell you why they didn't go after those other 80 sellers. But I can tell you that those sellers are definitely not in the clear, because you know how they're going to handle it when they get caught. So it is a matter of time before 80 more sellers get deactivated for that very same ASIN that, you know, our seller was on. And so the good news is that back in October, we did get everyone, you know, all but one person back up. It did take a range from, you know, about 1 to 6 months for people to come back up. And it just, you know, Amazon works at their own timeline as to what they feel when they feel like they've given enough punishment to somebody, is my impression. There's really no rhyme or reason why they take as long as they do or as short as they do. But it's, you know, and every case manager is different for who the investigators that are reading those appeals. But I can say that, you know, the one positive thing is that if you have good sourcing methods and you have a good supply chain verification, then it makes the chances of reinstatement significantly better. The seller who was shown the door was buying from bad wholesalers. And so he was buying from bad wholesalers, and Amazon's attorneys basically came in and they said, not only was he on the wrong listings, but he was buying from bad sources. So two strikes, we'd have no confidence that your seller will add value to our platform in the future. And so they decided to keep his account deactivated. They did release his money. So there was a semi-happy ending there. Because under these Section 3 suspensions, Amazon can hold your funds indefinitely. But we did at least get him his money back. But yeah, they did say, you know, we don't want you on our platform. And that's the sad reality, is that, you know, a little, you know, 5 minutes extra due diligence when listing these products would have prevented a lifetime ban on Amazon. Yeah, so
make sure you're selling against good ASINs. Make sure you're buying from legitimate sources that the distributor would say, yeah, those guys are legit. The brand would be happy to hear that you're buying it from that source. You know, you want to stay legit. There's so much legitimate opportunity. I hate to see people kind of playing in these gray areas and getting burned. It's just not necessary. So, well, thank you for the great advice, man. We're going to do this again next week, right?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Always appreciate you, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
See you.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentjim.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.